we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards to be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 6th of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Power Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Northern Power Women Podcast International Women's Day series. This is our special season. We are talking to some of the most fantastic, phenomenal role models from across the world of sport. All different types of sport, all backgrounds, all different experiences. So whether people are in the world of sport or working around the business of sport, that's what we're talking about this season. So we're talking about inspiring inclusion. Today, I couldn't be giddier because we're in the office at Power HQ here, Northern Power, and I've got Natasha Jonas on the couch.
Cheers, thank you.
Welcome. Thanks so much for taking the time out. You've had a busy time of it recently, right?
I've had a lot, just a little bit.
So you're out of camp now, is that how we call it? Right. So
holiday mode.
Oh, we'll get into that, what that looks like at the moment. So Natasha has I've had to write this down separately just to make sure I get it right. Three junior middleweight titles, WBO, IBF and WBC, one welterweight IBF and also one junior middle ring belt. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yes! Winning at life. There you go. That's my first win. You know what? We love every week to be able to talk to some fantastic role models. Everyone's got a different story. Everyone's got a different experience. What's brilliant is you're probably the closest to where we live and operate in Northern Power Women HQ, because you're literally from up the road in Toxteth, aren't you?
Literally, like, I can almost see my Nan's street from you.
What's Nan's name?
Esther.
Esther. We'll give Nan a wave as well. I really appreciate you coming in and say you're out of camp now as well. So you've just gone through, you retained your title a few weeks back, didn't you? Congratulations.
Nice one, thank you.
How do you feel? You've got all that training. How do you feel when it's over?
It is like a calm down, like a, but the first emotion that I feel is relief. Because I'm like, oh, thank God that's done. But then, yeah, there is like a big calm down, and it's that high that you're addicted to. That's what keeps you like people say, oh, like, how long can you keep doing it? I could probably do it forever because I'm addicted to that feeling. But then obviously everything comes to an end eventually.
And what is the hardest bit of the whole kind of cycle?
I think with this camp, it was a little bit different because we were going over Christmas. So, you know, it's the end of the year, December. Most fighters, like sparring partners, are done for the year. Unless they're fighting on the same bill, they're done for the year. So, you know, your sparring partner, it's hard to pull them in off their Christmas and, you know, forget Christmas dinner, just come spar with me instead. That's hard. Obviously, there's all kinds of flu. I've got a little girl, so she's just a little bug magnet in herself. So, you know, she goes back to school after half term, comes back home, and I'm like, ugh. And then just Christmas as well, just having, you know, everyone likes to overindulge at Christmas, but this camp, I was just like, I had a Christmas dinner, but I couldn't do the overindulging bit, which was a little bit different. So, but yeah, most camps are pretty much the same. You know, camp's the hard bit. People don't realise, like, by the time you get in the ring, you know, people are judging off that 20 minutes that you're in there, but that's the easy bit. I've trained 10 weeks to be there. In fact, I've trained all my life to be there. So, that's the bit where I'm like, it's all coming, you know, you're peaking, everything's flying, everything's gone well, hopefully everything's gone well, you're injury free, you know, you're bug free. Yeah, that's the good bit.
We talk a lot about people's different career paths and stories and stuff like that, and, you know, no one has that one set path. You started playing football before you were boxing, didn't you?
Yeah, I've done a million sports, to be honest. Football was my first love, I'd say. I still love football now. I played in some charity matches, and I realised that, yeah, I'm no way near the standard that's required, because I always think, oh, I'll never put my football boots back on. But no, that's not going to happen. But yeah, I loved footy. I grew up with two older boy cousins in my nan's house, and, you know, it's an inexpensive thing to do to just get a, you know, 99p fly away and go kick the ball for hours, and that's what we used to do.
And how did you find boxing?
It was a very good mistake. I was on a scholarship in America playing football. I had all ambitions to be the next Nia Hamm and, you know, play professional football over there, because this, we're talking 20 years ago, so that, at the time, that's where it, that's where you needed to be. Got injured, didn't finish my uni degree, came home, and for the first time in my life ever, I'd like fell out of love with sports, like, because the realization, this is exactly what it was, is that I was watching like the news and the Echo, and Beth Tweddle had just won a Commonwealth gold and she was like 16 or something. Wayne Rooney had just broken into the Everton team and he was 15. And I was thinking, wow, if I was going to be like a sports person or be an athlete, I'd already be, because I was 20.
You thought you were too old?
I thought I was too old, yeah. So I stopped everything. Obviously with me injury as well, I had like a knee brace on for a good 6 months, put on a load of weight, and people don't realise how social sport is. I lost a whole set of friends because I wasn't involved in any sport anymore. Sport was kind of my motivation to do anything. Like, it was always like a, jobs were always a mean to end, so I had to go and, you know, have pay for the equipment to do the sport that I wanted, or pay for the whatever I needed. And so I just couldn't be motivated in work either. And I got sacked from 7 jobs in 1 year. And it came to the end of the year, and I'd like I say, I got sacked. I'd like put on about 2 stone. And like I was just, like, I'd lost a load of friends, and I thought, right, something has got to change, like, in my life. Like, this is not really working out. This, like, doing what you're doing is not really working out. So I started going to my uncle's karate gym. And there was a lady that used to live over the road that used to watch it for him. And she was like, I've seen you train by yourself all the time. You're always in and out. Like, why? And I was like, oh, I'm just trying to, like, got my knee brace off and, you know, come back from injury. And she was like, oh, have you ever thought about boxing? I thought, oh, no. I didn't tell her that. I was like, shut up. And she was like, you should come along to the nights. We've just started women's only night in the local club, which was the Rotunda ABC. Fobbed her off for absolutely months, and in the end it got like embarrassing, like, seeing her, and she'd be like, oh, you didn't come. I was like, oh yeah, sorry, I was busy last week, I had a job interview, I'll come next week. And eventually I went, and that was 20 years ago. I'll never look back.
What do you think it is that you have in your mindset? You've been over to the States, you're doing what you love in the footy, then injury changes things, you come back, you've lost some of your network and your community through sport, because, like you say, it's social, and all of a sudden, and, you know, what, like, you've got this woman who's going, come on, crack on to this. What was it in the end that kind of wore you down, or what was it that kind of made you go, you know what, it's hard, that mindset thing?
I think it was hitting rock bottom. Like I said, I was, you know, probably now looking back, I think I was a little bit depressed and I didn't realise it. I didn't know what it was, and it took me to get into that place to think, no, this is not, like, this is not for me. I don't want to be here. I don't want to stay here. So yeah, it was just trying something different, and she did wear me down, but like I say, that was 20 years ago. I've never looked back.
And who was it around you? Like, so you were in this, you know, women only classes, but I think was it a mixed gym, but there was women only sessions.
So there was it's a mixed gym. But there was women's only classes, but they was for the whole public. But then the boxing classes, like, literally within like 2 months of being there, she was like, look, I think you're good enough to come to the actual boxing classes and be an amateur boxer. Would you do it? And I'm like, trying, I'm like, I'm not scared to do anything, of course I'll do it. Like, when they have to come, it was different times on different days. So yeah, I started going to the amateur classes, and I was the only girl there. Like, they'd never had to have a girl before. So I remember walking in on the first day, and like, and bearing in mind, Bellew I've knew all my life. I went to primary school with Bellew, but like the likes of Bellew there, Stephen Smith, Liam Smith, Callum Smith, you know, they're all babies at the time. We're talking 20 years ago. And I remember walking in, and like, the first thing you do your warm up, everyone's warming up, and then you do everyone's like, partner up, because you're going to do like work together. And everyone was like, going to the mates, going to the thing. And I remember feeling like, I remember going round the corner to play football with my two older boy cousins the first time. Now, I know one of my cousins is rubbish, but lads always choose the best players and then choose the mates. And he was one of their mates. So I was the little girl getting picked last because no one knew if it was good or not. And I was like, oh, go on, I'll pick you. So that's what it felt like walking in on that first day and everyone said, partner up. I just got that like feeling, oh my God, it's like being that little girl again. And then Liam Smith said, come on, Tash, I'll be your partner. And that like expelled everything. And from then on, it wasn't like, because he was like one of the better performers in the gym, it kind of stopped that like thing of, oh, what does anyone, who wants to go with Tasha? He just said it. And then after that, there was no issue.
That broke down the barrier, I guess.
100%, yeah.
And of course, if someone sees someone, if you're like advocating or standing up for you, then they're going to think, oh, well, it's all right then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 100%. I don't think he realised the power of that little gesture, but I was like, you know what I mean?
And it is interesting, I think, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, this whole series is about talking about amazing women in sport. We're absolutely obsessed with role models like yourself, but actually this is the part that amazing guys have to play as well. It's when the good guys lean in, can make such a difference.
Our sport is predominantly male, so like when we're doing all these, you know, advocating for all women the rights and the changes in some rules and regulations and even like the fan base, it can't just be a women's movement, it has to have men involved because they're predominantly what the sport is.
And did you have any female role models at this time in the world of boxing? You've talked about some of your female role models in the world of football, but who was out there that you were looking at that time?
Like, boxing is something that me and my dad used to sit and watch. I'd never really, I could score a fight and stuff, and I enjoyed the boxing, but I never really looked at it in that sense. But I do remember when Jane Couch took the British Boxing Board of Control to the court, the High Court, to be even able to get a professional boxing license. Now, at the time, you're talking 1997, I think it was, 98. I'm still playing football. But I remember thinking, go ahead, girl. Like, well in. Like, good for you. And then she was on, like, a couple of the Michael Barrymore things. And still, she wasn't someone that I'd seen box. I'd just seen the clips that they show on telly when she comes on, or I'd seen the whole, like, law thing. And I didn't really realise all them years later how that would affect me. And Jane actually, I messaged Jane to walk me out in my last fight, because I think without her, there'd be no us.
I saw that. She's literally paving the way, right? Isn't she?
100%. People see, like, my generation as the one that broke down the barriers, because we did go to the Olympics and was the first ones there, and we did do this and we did do that, but Jane was there before us, and she doesn't really get celebrated and recognised for what she did as much as, like, people just think it's us. It's not. There's women before us.
It is. I always think it's that whole on the shoulder of giants, isn't it? You know, we would not be there if those giants hadn't have kind of not just knocked their head against the glass ceiling, wall, everything you were. What point did it flip, Tash? At what point did you go, this is my career, I'm flipping good at this, and I'm having it?
I don't think there was a certain point. Maybe being on the GB squad and the Olympics, I think that was a big turning point for the whole sport.
And a home Olympics as well.
Exactly.
You know, come on.
Yeah, so
Spice Girls in the taxis. Sort of.
Yeah, it was just a crazy time. But I think I always, like, set myself I try so much now to live just now in the present. But you have to, you do set bigger challenges, and like I remember when she said, right, you're going to go to the amateur class, I was like, fine. Then they was like, okay, we've got a club show, you can be on the club show. And I was like, okay, that's my goal, be on the club show, win the club show. And I won that, and they were like, right, we can get you another fight, it won't be on our club show, but we can get you in. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. I'm like, I just won that one too, I'll do it again. Done that, and then I think I had 3 or 4. And he was like, okay, there's the national championships, which is the ABAs. Do you want to do that? And I was like, yeah, put my name down, I'll do that. And then I won that. So every stage, there was, like, every time I reached a goal, there was another goal to be reached, if that makes sense. So, you know, and then after the ABAs are won there, then you start going to tournaments with England because you're the champion of England. So then you start being able to represent England. At this time, there's no Olympics. So I thought, you know, I've got another top with Jonas on the back thinking, yeah, this is as far as it's going to get. And then he was like, okay, there's going to be an Olympics now. We have to do a team Great Britain, which they never had to do before. She had assessments for months and got onto that. And then he was like, okay, now you're part of Team GB. So now the goal is the Olympics. And it was just, it's just at every single step, there's always been something to, there's always been another challenge and another challenge. And it just so happened that I was in the right place at the right time.
But I think that it sort of strikes me as you're that person to say yes. You say yes to those opportunities. I'm living in the present. I'm going, yeah, I can crack on and do that. Although it did take you a while to get in the gym in the first place.
But yeah, yeah.
It seems like since that moment, you've just gone, yeah, go ahead, I'll have a go with that.
I'm the type of person, like, I would, even to get to America, like, I failed the exam the first time. You have to get a score, a certain score, I failed the score. So I had to take it a second time, but I could have just stopped then and been like, right, I missed it, I didn't get it, and that it is what it is, I'll go a different way. But that regret, I can't live with. Like, the regret of not even trying and not trying to take the opportunity is bigger than the trying and failing for me. I don't mind failing. I hate failing, I hate it. But at least I can say I've done it. If I've done it and I've failed, it's better than not doing it at all.
And what is your leveller? Who are your levellers around you that get you off the canvas when, literally, when there has been that failure or something hasn't quite gone to plan? Who are those people around you that are like, come on?
Yeah, no, definitely. My mum and dad goes without saying. My nan is someone who's a comforter. And then I've got two cousins that I'm very, very close to. And, like, even when it was that decision to go from retiring from the amateurs to coming back as a pro, these two cousins are the ones I spoke to because they see the other side of, everyone sees your glory and your glory moments and they see your Commonwealths and the gold medals and whatever. No one sees, like, when I cried for 2 days after getting beat by Katie in the Olympics, I literally cried for 2 days, but they did. So if I've got a big decision to make, they're the people that I'll go to, like my mum, my dad, my nan, and my two cousins, and one best mate as well.
It's like almost your little personal boardroom, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, we'll go probably around the back, go, yeah, 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 don't tell them that. They want that on the back now.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And when you, on your fight the other week when you won, what stood out to me is right at the end, you were getting asked a question. You were like, right, I'm not answering that. What I want to highlight tonight is everyone who's here, the people who've been on the bill, forgive me if I get some of the terminology, who've been on the bill before me, the younger fighters, the teams that are surrounded. And that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to take your victory, but to highlight everyone else that's coming up behind you. That really stood out for me. That's really important to you, isn't it? You talk about community, paying it forward, giving back all the time, but you use your platform of victory that night to call to celebrate that.
Yeah, I think sometimes we are like, we're in a good place in Liverpool in the sense of, like, you know, sport and athletes that we've got, but we don't always celebrate them the way we, and recognise them that I think the way we should. And it's not always about, you know, me in the ring or Steve Clark or Mikey Tallon, but there's coaches there that are part of the team. There's S&C coaches there. There's nutritionists. All that part of the team needs to be celebrated. And the fans, because times are really hard. Me and Ben done a toy drive with the girls down the road in Dingle from Taste. And, you know, hearing that they've done it for 10 years. I've been involved the last couple, but, like, hearing the stories of how it's gone from Dingle to Liverpool 8 to, you know, South Liverpool to now Liverpool wide, and how many families that, like, are in need of that. And, it's heartbreaking that, like, you know, and I've been that mum struggling. In lockdown, I'm a professional athlete. You don't compete, you don't get paid. The board's closed all the boxing off. So for a good 2 years, I didn't get any money. So I've been that mum struggling. I know what that's like to be able to not be able to give your kid a Christmas present. That's that's heartbreaking. So yeah, that's something that we got involved in. The girls were all there that night as well. But you know, to recognise the people in the crowd that have spent hard-earned cash when, you know, it's not a necessity. Not everybody's got it, but they wanted to be there and they wanted to support their own. I think that needs to be celebrated. We are a community, I think, in Liverpool that, you know, through good, bad, whatever, when it comes down to standing in solidarity and sticking together, that we do.
And you talk about that, I've seen on some of the videos you've done, you talk about that, it takes a community. It takes to lift and raise those, whether it's young girls coming through sport, whether it's, you know, yeah, sort of the success that you've had as well. I think and things like, the giving back, you've been a mentor, haven't you, for the Youth Sports Trust as well, which is an amazing organisation. I think it used to be headed up by Sue Campbell, didn't it? She was great. Love that woman. But that's important to you, isn't it? That whole mentoring. What's the key bit that you always want to pass on?
Oh, gosh. I think just the belief in yourself, and there's a whole bigger world out there. I think I am not, like, sometimes you see people on the telly and you see, you know, stars or athletes or whatever, and you think, yeah, that's them. And you never think it could be you. So I try and instill that. Like, I was literally that person. You know, I do a lot of work in schools with the Youth Sport Trust, Dame Kelly Holmes Trust, and just off my own back in community groups, because for so long, I didn't realise how powerful my voice was, and I didn't say anything, and I had a bit of, you know, I don't know, inferiority complex and, you know, imposter syndrome, and now sport has given me that voice on that platform, so I try and use it positively. You know, people... weirdly enough want to hear what I've got to say, and so I think that's important to say something good and say something that people can take on board.
And I think that is using your power for good, and that power of sport. You know, we've got to have more girls in sport, haven't we? You know, we talked earlier before we started recording about, you know, that the dropout point of young girls in school, and it's a crisis, isn't it? We need more investment in that grassroots to ensure our young girls can compete in whatever sport, how many sports they want to do, right?
Yeah, of course. I'm quite fortunate that I've never felt out of place with the lads. Like I say, I play football and whatever, but I know that girls do, so we need to create these spaces and more so more opportunities. There's the sports that I do now that I didn't get the opportunity to do when I was little, for whatever reasons, like money being a big one, and opportunity being another. I think, you know, the more there's a little Usain Bolt running around somewhere that's undiscovered because he hasn't been given the opportunity, or doesn't know, he hasn't been, you know, I don't know what the word is, guided into where it is, or he hasn't been nurtured into it. And I think we need to find them. They're the kids we need to find, because there's so much talent, like I say, in our city, but not all of it is always discovered.
And it's just even a case sometimes of you getting paired up way back, you in that gym, if we haven't been paired, was it Billy? Liam, you know, what do you think overall that taught a sport, you know, sport has taught you along the way?
I think the biggest thing that it's given me is opportunity and confidence, like I say, with that, having that, like, power, people actually want to listen to what I say. And I never thought I was that person. So it's given me the confidence to be able to sit on parliamentary groups and say what needs to be said. It gives me the confidence to go into schools and places of business and speak to, you know, CEOs and executives and have that confidence in my message. But I think more than anything, and what I try and portray to the kids, and this is actually a true story, I watched the Olympic Games in Seoul in 1988 and said to me, Mum, I want to be there. And I was 4. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, yeah, you're going to need to practice. And off I went and kicked my ball for hours, thinking it was going to be in football. But, you know, 24 years later, I was in the Olympic Games in London 2012. My mum, when I qualified, burst out crying because she remembered me saying that. And it took me 24 years, 105 different sports, and, you know, millions of hours and millions. And every single sport I did, my mum and dad did it with me. You know, they took me to every told me to every practice, pick me up, sat there through it. You know, my dad sat there through endless netball tournaments, football tournaments, and stayed and watched the whole game. So they've done it all with me, and to, you know, to be able to have that dream come true from that little girl, just saying I want to be there. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I didn't even know why I wanted to be there. I just liked all the sports that was on the telly, but I got there. And there's been ups and downs, there's been, you know, whatever there's been, but, you know, that belief and that hard work got me there in the end, and that's universal. You believe in yourself no matter what your dream is. Not everyone's dream is going to be in sport, but if you work hard at it and you believe in yourself, even when nobody else does, then anything's possible.
And finally, you talked earlier about living in the present, and there's always a target. There's always a target. What's next for Tash?
Oh gosh, good question. Holiday, like in the imminent future. My little girl, like she knows when it's Miss GB and there's mum, and she goes through every camp that I do. All the selection boxes got launched out the all the treats get launched out the cupboards. You know, she's limited. She goes to my nan's to get treats, and then she comes back home, to fill herself with sugar, and she comes back. I think after everything we've come to like a thing left there. And I sacrifice so much time that, you know, we have quality time when it's all done and dusted. But I think I've still got one, maybe possibly two, big fights and big nights left in me. So we'll see. Hopefully Ben can sort them out. He's done me good so far. So hopefully he can sort them out.
Don't stop doing everything the good that you do as well outside of the sport, using your voice for good, being heard, being at those tables. I think that's so, so important. Thank you so much.
Nice one, thank you.
Oh, thank all of you for this amazing special episode of our Northern Power Women podcast today. Just a big honour to be joined by you in our MPWHQ today. Thank all of you for watching. Stay connected on all of our socials at North Power Women on Twitter and Northern Power Women on all the other ones. You have been listening to the Northern Power Women podcast, a What Goes On Media production.